We're talking about the fire of God. And I've shared the story that I'm about to share. I've shared this in church before, and we both remember it. And do you think I can find it? I read books on Kindle, and I've got somewhere between 700 and 800 books. And so I went through kind of the time frames where I could think about maybe when I shared this story with you guys. And I searched my entire Kindle, not every book, but all the books that I thought this story would be in. I cannot find the story, but we both remember it. And so we'd shared a story one time. It was about, maybe it was Smith Wigglesworth, maybe it was like John Wesley, or I don't know, it was one of the guys, and we both feel like it was in England. And so there was these preachers, these men of God, these revivalists that were going out and preaching and ministering and seeing thousands upon thousands of people saved. And they were, you know, like Charles Spurgeon, I forget, like 10,000 sermons or something like that he wrote. And like just, you know, all kinds of books. I don't know if it was him, but it was one of, you know, it was a bunch of these guys like that. And I wish I could find the story, but I can't. So we'll go off of memory. And so they would get together every once in a while after they had been out, you know, ministering and seeing people come to the Lord, and all of them having fruitful ministries, all of them seeing the power of God, all of them seeing people healed and miracles and just, you know, just incredible God things. And so they would get back together, you know, kind of like a pastor's conference or something, but it was just this small group of guys. I feel like it was maybe like 5 or 6 of them, or maybe a few more, but a close-knit group of ministers and preachers. And they would get back together, and the first thing they would ask each other, they would come up and they'd say, "Brother, are you still burning? Brother, do you still burn?" They didn't ask, "How's your ministry going?" They didn't ask, "How many people are getting saved?" They knew that God was doing stuff. But tell me about you. Is your heart still ignited with the fire of God within you? Because we know if you're not burning, what you're seeing out there is going to start dwindling. We know that the most important thing that you can have going on in your heart right now is the fire of God ignited and burning in your soul. Are you still burning? Brother, are you still burning? And that just became, it just became their mantra. Anytime they would see each other, you know, out in the streets, or if they would gather, they would just say, "Are you burning? Are you burning? Do you still burn?" And so for, you know, after we read that, we said that around here for a while. You know, every couple weeks or so, we'd come back to mind and we'd say, "Are you burning?" And Marnie and I have said that in our own hearts. We've asked each other, "Are you burning? Do you burn? Is your heart burning for the Lord? Is your heart burning?" And we just know it's the most important thing, that we're zealous for God, not doing stupid things, not doing fool, but internally, that the passion of God is stirring in our souls. Because how many know that it's easy for passion to get squished, right? It's easy for fire to get doused. How many have ever run into a fire douser, right? You're so excited for Jesus, right? You know, old Betty Boop comes along and she's going to tell you something about how you're dumb and wrong and whatever. And like, it just kind of just pours water on stuff and whatever, your kids, your job, real life. And so this morning, Marnie's going to start out and probably end as well. I think she's got the message this morning, but she's had this burning in her heart about the fire of God burning in your heart. So welcome, Marnie Snaza.
I think I might be a little less nervous than I was last night. Because I'm pretty sure if you looked at my legs, they were literally probably shaking. But my dependency on Jesus is not any less, because I know that in order for me to really speak his message, that he needs to speak through me. And so I'm just going to ask, just even how, God, Lord, I am your vessel right now, and I just need your words and your ability to be able to put this message that you have put in my heart, and that it could hit the hearts of men, God. Lord, that it would have receptive places for the seed to fall, and that it can flourish and produce fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a quote as I was putting this together that I came across, and it's this one. "I do not know of anything that America needs more today than men and women on fire with the fire of heaven." And that quote is most likely Dwight L. Moody, I think was in the 40s or 50s, or was it earlier than that? earlier than that. Okay, so we're going to call this a timeless quote because it is as true today as it was back then. There is something that we need that is beyond ourselves. So, you know, I'm just going to be super honest with you. If you're like me, you can look around and it's really easy to get discouraged, to look at the status of just even people, the stories sometimes that we hear. And I'm just like, how can that even happen? Like, I can't even fathom just the depravity of men's souls, men, women, souls, that these type of things can even take place. And it's so beyond. And I just, there's just those times where I'm like, God, what is the answer? Like, is this hopeless? What is it going to take? What is your plan? What can I do to be a part of this plan? And just honestly, there's times where my soul just aches and I weep because it's so hard. Because I'm like, God, I know you have an answer and I want to be part of your plan for this. And I'm aching inside because I'm seeing the depravity and I'm seeing the destruction. And I know that you're the answer, but I don't exactly always know how that answer gets there. And so I'm just, it's something that just at times just hurts me inside. But in those moments, I always come back to looking at Jesus because he never means us to be overwhelmed by darkness. That is not his answer. And so I know that not for a minute that everything is lost. And I just believe that the ache in my heart is the Lord laying the groundwork for just a holy desperation. And that desperation, it just leads to an awareness of the reliance and the need for a supernatural work. A work that is beyond something that I have in me. I'm a fixer. I see something, I just want to go take care of it. Right? Like, we don't need to get a committee. We don't need to do anything. I see it. Let's just take care of it. And there's a lot of things in this world that no matter how large of a committee or no matter how much of my brute strength or how much of my mental ability I put towards it cannot fix it. And so it's this realization that God, more than anything, I need you. The world needs you. It needs something beyond what I have. And so I'm going to tell you that I believe that that is the Holy Spirit working in us. And I love this quote from A.W. Tozer. Every man is as full of the Holy Spirit as he wants to be. That steps on my toes. He may not be as full as he wishes he were, but he is most certainly as full as he wants to be. Because when it comes down to it, we're looking at what we're allowing him to have access to in us. Luke 3:16, John answered them, says, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. And so when we're talking about fire, we're talking about the Holy Spirit living in you, working through you. You know, there's some characteristics of the fire of God as we look throughout his word. And one of them, boy, do we like this one. It convicts. And I loved it. One of the things that we prayed in the prayer room this morning, that the message would be loud and clear from the very beginning of the opening all the way to the end. And I just love to watch God orchestrate his message today. Mary had a word from the Lord about the fire. And I'm like, oh, how perfect. She doesn't know what I'm talking about today. But he convicts and he purifies of sin. He makes us aware how sad that we would go through life and have this huge, big blob of mess and nobody would tell us about it, but we ourselves are blind to it. How many of you, my husband is so good at this. I evidently have teeth that like to keep things in them. Okay? It's constant. And so like we'll eat and I just don't think about it. I don't think like, ooh, I should go look in the mirror and check out my teeth, right? And he just will very lovingly, you got something in your teeth. Thank you. But I am actually appreciative because I don't want to go be talking to everybody in the world and have this big green something in my, you know. The Holy Spirit is so kind and so loving to convict, to bring those things up so that we can be cleansed and purified. And there's a story. The word talks about... The word talks about how the Lord tests us and refines us, okay? And so I loved, as I was researching this, I looked back into the process of refining. And the thing that I loved is refining with flame, fire, heat is one of the oldest methods of refining metals. It's mentioned in the Bible. And refining by fire is the preferable method for large quantities of gold. In ancient times, this form of refining involved a craftsman sitting right next to a hot fire with the molten gold in a crucible, and it's being stirred. It's constantly being stirred. Are you being stirred? And he's constantly stirring it. And as he stirs it, the dross, the junk, the impurities keep coming to the top. And the craftsman does not just leave them there. Okay, they're exposed. What does he do? He takes his tool and he gets the dross and cleanses it. And then he goes back and he stirs. And he gets the dross and he cleanses it and he goes back and he stirs. And that's like our life. And there was a story, they said, well, how long do you stir this? I stir it so that when I look down into that gold, it is so clean and pure that the reflection that I see is my own. The craftsman is sitting right next to you. He never once leaves the process. He is hovering. He is close. He is mindful. Not once in this uncomfortable process. Because how many know conviction sometimes is really uncomfortable? Okay? Getting that stuff out, working it out, it hurts at times. It's painful. We can have questions and we're like, really, God? You're going to take that out? Are you sure? And he's right there. And he's going, but in order for you to look like me, I need to take this out of you. It's for your good. It's so that your reflection is mine. I will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. You tested us. You refined us like silver. If you want to increase in the life of God, then you must settle in your heart that you will not at any time resist the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Ghost and fire, the fire burning up everything that would impoverish and destroy you. The things that he is removing are for your good so that you are not destroyed and that you don't destroy others in the process. I love this one. Life in the refiner's fire is a life of trust in the unchanging, purifying love of God. He convicts and purifies because he loves us that much. Another characteristic is that he points to Jesus. I love this. Does anybody know what that thing over there is? It looks kind of like a hot basketball. It is not.
It's the sun.
Thank you. It is the sun. And the temperature of that sun is about 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. And at the core, I guess it's only about 10,000 degrees. Would you guys agree with me that the sun is a star? Okay, thank you. Right? Like it's our sun, but it's a star. There's lots of them out there. Would you also agree with me that maybe that would also be considered fire? It's not technically fire because I looked it up, but it is hotter than fire. Okay? It's just, it is fire. And so you're like, okay, well, what? All right. Okay. The sun is a star. Okay. Got it. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Okay, Marnie, I don't get it. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that the fire always points to Jesus. The fire in our lives, if it's the Holy Spirit, is always pointing to Jesus. If it's pointing to anything else, then we have the wrong fire burning within us. He will glorify and honor me because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and will disclose it to you. He always points to Jesus. The next thing it does is it guides. And I love this because I love this story. So many times, one of the things Kirk will tell you is like, don't read the Bible just in a heady place. Put yourself in the story. So these are the Israelites, God's people. They've just left slavery, okay? And you know, pretty dramatically, you know, they've just watched all these plagues happen before their eyes. And so they're leaving and they have no idea where they're going. Would that be a little scary to you?
Yes.
It would be scary to me to have no idea where I'm going. When we were on our trip, I had my phone, okay? And it was always locked into the GPS, and I was always finding, okay, we're going there. Okay, you need to get in the left lane because you're going to take a left here, just trying to make things easier. And there were a couple of times where, because of just the way the reception was, I had the map on my phone, but I honestly didn't know, like, the big picture. I could just see the step right in front of me. And I was too scared to, like, put it back to the big picture because we didn't have really good signal, and then I would lose the whole map, and then we would really not know where we were going. And so I would have it before me, okay? But I didn't always know the big picture. These guys did not know the big picture, but you know what they did have right before them? They had a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, a pillar of fire that not only guided them, but it also gave them light in the darkness that they were in. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He is the one who points us and leads us in the directions that we're supposed to go. Guys, this is straight from the Word of God, by the way. You see that? It cannot get any more clear. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Context and everything. This is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit and fire guides us. We just have to pay attention. But one of the things that I really love about the story of the Israelites, the Lord never left them. There was always the cloud or the pillar of fire. so many times we can feel lost. We're not sure what direction to go. I'm like, God, I know, I just don't understand. I just want to encourage you right now. He is there to guide you. The pillar was always there. They were always close. The fire consumes the sacrifice, and it brings the glory. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. And when the Israelites saw the fire coming and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. We no longer have to go get an animal and cut it up and offer the blood in an altar. But the premise is the same when we offer the sacrifice of worship, when we offer the sacrifice of our lives, the fire comes and brings the glory. And the only response that we can have in those moments is this. The fire of the Lord fell and burned in the sacrifice. And then, skipping, when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." When we experience the fire and the glory of the Lord, there is only one response that we have left inside of us, because all of a sudden everything becomes clear. He is God. That happened this morning. You remember? Was it too long ago? The donuts filling in, the cookies. Let me refresh for you. We worshiped, and it became clear. He is our God. There is none like Him. We had people prostrate on the ground, worshiping, bowed before Him. When the glory comes, there's only one response. When His fire comes, we see clearly His majesty, His awesomeness, and His worth. The fire speaks. What? You know, you're like, hey, we've heard like the crackle, you've heard that. But let's read about Moses. Moses is walking around doing his thing, right? He's hiding. Who's ever hid before? He's hiding. He's just, that's really what he's doing. He's had this, you know, thing. He killed an Egyptian. He ran away. He's just trying to kind of live his life somewhere else, trying to avoid the calling of God in his life. But guess what? God speaks. God knew exactly where he was. God knows exactly where you are. And he sees this bush that is on fire. Okay, well, maybe lightning hit it and it's on fire. No, but this bush is on fire and it's not burning up. Okay, that's weird. That would kind of make me a little nervous. I would be the one that would be like, let's go away from the bush. Moses is like, let's go see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look. Okay, guys, that's exciting. Guess what? God drew him to the bush. God was drawing his heart and he responded. When the Lord saw that he went over to look. When God's leading you, when you're feeling the nudges, take the steps. He called to him from within the bush, said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, hey, I'm here. And God says, oh, stop. Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And God says, I am who I am. And even before that, I didn't put all that scripture on there, but he says, I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And he goes through this whole list. And what is he doing? He's establishing who he is. When the Lord speaks, he's speaking of who he is. Is not my word like fire? We have the word of God. And is it not like a fire? Have you had those times where you've opened up the pages? And there's times, I get it, there's times where it just feels really dry. And you're like, God, I'm hoping that you're doing something in this moment. I'm reading this because I know it is life to me, but there's nothing coming alive here. But I'm going to read it because I know it's life to me. And then there's times where you read it and every word is bouncing off the page and it begins to set a flame inside of you. It begins to fan the things that God is speaking in your heart. It adds to the excitement and to the passion of the things that God is speaking to you. The fire speaks of who God is, what he will do, and has the power to complete it. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Oops. Oh, I am right. The fire impassions. It enthuses. It illuminates. It brightens. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying out of my hands. Can we all agree here that we've got a gift of God? A gift from God inside of us? Could we not say that God has put a seed in you? But yet, it's not meant to just sit there. It's meant to be fanned into flame. You've seen the big blower things? Bellows, thank you. I just couldn't see the thing. And you can see that when you put it on the fire, when you start using that and you just, a breeze comes out of that and you watch that fire begin to build. God has a purpose in each one of you and he is wanting to fan that flame. He's wanting to fan that passion for him. Back when I was in school, I was a cheerleader. And we always... It was like really one of the, like, it was the cheer we would do kind of at the beginning of the game. Because how many know sometimes at the beginning of the game, like they're excited, but until they kind of get into their rhythm of things, things can be a little, you know, a little rocky, okay? And what was the cheer? Anybody have any guesses? Fired up, let's get fired up. Why are we having to tell someone to get fired up? They are in the game for the purpose to win, to do the things, right? Like, that's why they're there. So why are we having to encourage and tell them to get fired up? We're wanting to increase their passion, to increase their zeal, to increase their confidence. Did you know that the word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, En and theos, which means in God. The most enthusiastic people walking the face of the earth are those whose lives are in God, living for Him. Guys, if you are dull, and I don't mean this in a harsh way, but if your life is dull, you need to go find a fired up Christian. For real. You go and you start listening as they speak of the things that God is doing in their lives. When they speak of the things of how God saved them. Do you know what it does? It fans the flame. Because that's right. God did this in my life. I remember. He did that for me too. He did that for you. Maybe He can do that for me. Fired up. Fired up. Let's get fired up. And what does that do? It makes us shine. You are the light of the world. Not Pastor Kirk. Not Pastor Stephen. Not Trisha. Oh, they shine. You are the light of the world. If you are a Christ follower and believer, that you applies to you. You are meant to shine. You are meant to burn for Jesus. You're meant to not be hidden. You're meant to be put on a stand and give light to everyone in the house. You give light to everyone in the house. What happens when you get more than one light on? Right? It gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and they can glorify your Father in heaven. This is by far my favorite quote of this message. You never have to advertise a fire. Everyone comes running when there's a fire. Likewise, if your church is on fire, you won't have to advertise it. The community, they'll already know it. And that is the prayer of our heart. It is not something that Kirk and I can do of our own. It is not something that we can muster with enough strength and effort and energy. It has to be a supernatural work that happens in Him and me and you and you and you. And every heart begins to blaze. And when that starts happening, people can't deny what's going on. They can't deny the fire. I pray that the love for our Savior will ignite the passion of our lives and set us ablaze so that we can light up our lives so bright that the world just can't help but notice. They just can't help it. Something's different. We ministered in Gospel of Bryant Church. And guys, just being really honest, I've never ministered in a bilingual church before. It was my first time speaking with a translator. And while I knew this message was burning inside of me, it is still hard for me to get up and preach. Okay? Like it's not as easy for me as some other things. Okay? So when it was getting ready, time to go, my heart was beating really fast. And I was just so like, God, you've got to give me, this is one of the most uncomfortable situations I've been in a while. Okay? That's where I was feeling. And as I got up to speak, and so thankful for the translator, he was just so kind and just so great to work with. But there was this couple. And they were sitting off to the right, and I had seen them during worship. And just every time I looked over, their hands were raised, and they were so engaged. And so I would look at them when I was getting nervous, when I would just have a moment where I'd feel like, oh, I'm not sure about this. And I'd look at them. I did not know them. I actually found out I had met them once, but I did not have personal relationship with them. But my eyes would be drawn to them because they just burned. They didn't even have to say anything. All I did was look at them, but I knew that they were safe. I knew that they were encouraging. They burned by sitting in a pew. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you can burn for Jesus, and you may never know the impact that you're having. Last one, the Holy Spirit empowers. Guys, before you leave today, it is my heart that you would know that what I am speaking of is not something that we do in our own strength. It is a reliance on the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. It is through him. It is a supernatural work, but it's a work that he wants to do. Our lives just have to be open to allow him to do it. Acts 2, Jesus has gone up to heaven. The disciples are going, what in the world? What do we do now? He said to go to a room. Okay, we'll go to a room. Pray. Okay, we'll go pray. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. And a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be witnesses to the whole earth. Guys, we need the Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses, so that we can be his reflection, so that we burn. And my favorite, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Is anyone in this place ordinary? I feel pretty ordinary. But I don't believe that the things that God wants to do through me are ordinary. I don't believe for a moment that the plans and purposes are ordinary. Because he uses the unschooled and ordinary to do his work. Because he empowers them. And they were astonished and they took note. These men had been with Jesus. When people spend time with you, what do they walk away with? Are they taking note that there's something different? Are they taking note that they've spent time with Jesus? According to 1 Corinthians 14, if meetings are governed by the Holy Spirit, the result for the visitor will be that the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. He will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. And that should be our goal. When a visitor comes in, there should be such a mixture of God's truth and God's presence that the person's heart is x-rayed, the futility of his life is exposed, and he crumbles in repentance. That's what we want. We want people to meet Jesus. We want people to know him. The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel, the total plan of God for his people. It's his plan. And it is not something that we have of our own. It is by inviting the Holy Spirit to have his way in us. It's laying down more of us so that he is greater. Less of me, more of him. Less of me, more of him. And so I just ask you, I'm just going to ask you very simply, do you want more of God? Do you want the fire of God in your life? Do you want him to do the things? Do you want him to guide you? Do you want him to convict you and purify and cleanse you? Do you want him to speak? Do you want him to fan into flame and put passion in you? Do you want him to light you up so that you can shine? Do you want him to give you the power that you need to walk this life for his glory? Because I do. With everything in me, I do. I've had this message just rolling around inside of me. I'm like, God, I don't know if I can express it how you want me to. But as you leave today, I hope and pray that you're going, God, I want more of you. I want more of your fire in my life. I need more of your fire in my life. And so if you are one that would say, yeah, that's me, then I'm just going to ask you to actually just stand. We're going to walk to the burning bush. We're going to take that action that just says, God, this is what I want. And so, God, we know it is not of ourselves. We know it is not something that we can drum up or stir up of our own. But you are the craftsman that is there, and you are stirring the gold inside of us, and you're bringing those things. And so, God, we just invite you in this moment. And we just say, God, send your fire into our lives. Let your Holy Spirit work in us and have his way. We rely on you and your work and not our own. Fill us to overflowing. Fan into flame the seed that is already there. God, make us burn for you. I pray that we are never the same. That from this moment, as we invite more of you, God, Lord, that we can look back and say something started that day. Something changed in my life that day. Something's different. God, we want you. We want you above all. And so I just ask that you would meet everyone right where they're at. You're so loving. You're so close. Keep stirring the gold. In Jesus' name, amen.